my father, you see, my father, when he was, when my father was a little boy, that's what he always wanted, was to go to Alaska. He was born in Canada, and he met my mother in Germany, and that's what he always wanted to do, was go to have a place like Farewell, and it's, we love it. It's something very special.
Were you born in Alaska?
Yes, yeah. Both of us.
Yeah.
But it's just a real special place. There's,
Well, the war changed everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, well, when did you very first?
I was 2 years up there, you know. Well, I didn't have a radio until 32.
Yeah.
A little battery operated radio. And I could get some on it, could get anchors and things, you know. And then later I got a scene at Big Table Model, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's still out there.
In the 30s, you know.
About this high?
Yeah. And you had a lever here, you could switch channels on, and you got a new dial.
Yeah, a new dial just kept flipping in as you moved it.
Yeah.
It's still out there.
The battery, and then the wind charge went up there. You know.
Yeah, it blew down. It blew, the wind came down and blew it down.
I suppose it
all the logs rotted out.
Yeah.
The
it stood up there a long time.
It did, yeah. Amazing. Back up now. Yeah.
Well, we put it on the cache.
Right. It's on the cache now.
Put a new stand up on the cache and put a wind charger up there.
Yeah.
Do you have... They must have a power plant there, you know, huh?
Yeah,
we have a generator.
I see in that picture of the old cabin, there must have got an oil tank sitting in there under the shed.
Propane.
I thought it was gas. I see the line leading around.
Right.
Coming out of the door, looks like
a stove.
A small stove like this one in there.
Yeah, that's what that's for.
But in the inside of it really hasn't changed. We won't let them change it.
Yeah.
Curtis put that window in there by the door. That was it.
Oh, that wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh.
But you put one out towards the lake?
Well, I have all the other windows in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the back addition, I just put that up in 41.
In 41?
Yeah.
When did you first come to Farewell Lake? What year?
Well, I came up to, you know, to what was French Joe's place, we call it, that roadhouse
right,
over by the river, in 23. I walked over the trail from Nancy on the railroad, you know, station there. There was Rainy Pass there in 21 in March. Getting to the guy.
Was there a roadhouse right there in Rainy Pass?
There were roadhouses all the way, you know. There was a roadhouse in its French Joe's, and then the next one down would be a Pelock. That would be about 20 miles out in the open flat.
Mm-hmm.
And then Salmon River, then Big River, and then...
What about the other way up towards Rainy
Pass?
The other
way, roadhouse there's Roman,
There's an old...
That burned down, you know, when Jim Davis and Bob Jones, they lived there, you know, they bought it from somebody, a name broker or something.
Huh.
There's an old cabin right up by the Pass Fork coming through Rainy Pass.
There's an old cabin?
You know, all broken down, looks like from
you the
same
You mean when they first come to go up?
No, on this side of the pass, on the Farewell side of the pass.
Yeah, well, there's a relief cabin up in there somewhere.
Oh.
Don't mean nothing.
I don't know what it is anymore. Just
right
if it was a roadhouse.
Pretty near to the summit, you know.
Yeah, pretty near to the summit,
but
just
that
inside.
Was built later on. That wasn't there when I was there.
Oh, that was later.
Yeah, that was built later on.
Yeah.
I think the fellow had the roadhouse down on the other side. Well, there was a roadhouse there at the place you're talking about. But it only operated one or two years.
Oh, yeah.
Richardson brothers, I never met them, they'd left. Hmm. They built it there and operated, but it was too close, you know, to run it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
well, you built, of course, there the old cabin and the cache there at the lake, and then did you built a cabin and the dog, little dog house up at Roan, didn't you?
Well, the roadhouse burned down, so we rebuilt my partner, Jim Davidson.
Oh, Jim Davidson was your partner?
He was for a while, you see. That's the reason I went up there with him.
Oh.
For the mail traffic and everything else started to come from Benshuman, down through Lake Benshuman, from the railroad, you know, in Indiana, down that way, you know. They didn't have any passes to go, you see.
Right, right.
Coke Hill, I guess. he bid on the mail contract, you know, in the winter mail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't no dog master, but he hired the muscles, you know.
Yeah.
And they raced out the road through there, you know.
So did you...
And they started from Kobe on the railroad, Kobe the first time. I don't know where Kobe was, but it was close to what is that little town there, close to the coal mines?
Hmm.
Close to the start into the canyon on the Nimanana River.
No.
Yeah,
Healy.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you see, that's from the... Before I went to McGrath in the summer of 20, I walked over the broad path and into Fairbanks, you know.
Oh, geez.
And back out again.
Jeez! You did a lot of walking.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Well, the walking wasn't crowded.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I'm pretty young, you know.
Well, where were you born?
Huh?
Where were you born?
I was born in Denmark.
In Denmark, mm-hmm. So we thought. And then when did you first come over from Denmark?
I came over in 15.
In 15?
15, when I was 18.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. You're 18, yeah. And then you went right to Alaska?
No.
Oh, you were down?
No. I landed in Iowa, and I worked on the farm one summer there, and then another kid and I, he wasn't in it. We grabbed a freight train.
Oh!
Right, we're crossing the main street and see the falls in broad daylight. That took us to St. Paul, and then we got into Minneapolis in the street car. And then we went out on the rail track and hooked another freight.
And we got getting pretty good at it.
Miles City, you know, in Montana. And,
did you have Alaska?
Finally got in up into Helena, Montana, you know. And he went to work. And I went to work for a little while. Oh, you could always get small jobs, you know. We never had much money, but we never had to beg either, you know.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Riding the freight, get kicked off and crawl back under.
Did you always have Alaska in mind? No,
I never had Alaska in mind. It brought me up into the wheat fields in Saskatchewan.
Oh.
You know, in that fall, and the Canadians were fighting in the war, you know, and they were short of men for the harvest, and you could just walk across the border and nobody would even look at you.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of us walked across and went to work and wound up and spent the winter in Calgary. And even in Calgary, you could always get a job.
Yeah, you see with everybody being
gone. You could just look at a blackboard someplace, you know.
Yeah.
Short work, you know. You never had to go hungry.
Yeah.
Know.
That's always good. You can travel and then work and then travel and then work.
And then next year, I lost my partner, you see. I went out to look for him. Somebody that knew him told me he was working at a mine, but he didn't know what there was. Quite a few small mines, copper mines, I guess, out of Helena.
Oh, yeah, out of Helena.
But I didn't find them, so I took a freight again. That's when I went back to Williston, North Dakota, and then to Minot, and there's where I got to work.
Should I let the dog in?
No.
You might want to just
shut the door.
And then, so you went back down. You came back down from Canada and went down to work again.
Well, I came back down then to Minnesota, to Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
The second fall, you know, that would be in 21. And you see, I worked in drainage ditch, digging tile ditches, you know, out in Minnesota. And it was good money in it because it was hard work.
Hard work, right.
But it was, ordinary wages then was 2 bits an hour, you know, for work, you know. That was top.
Top.
2.5 a day, you worked 10 hours, you know. But on the tile ditch, I could make $10 a day. You know,
wow.
If you got good digging, you know. Right. Sometimes your digging wouldn't be that good, but. And bored, too.
Yeah.
Bored with the farm.
Right.
So then the war came on, and the two fellows that worked were two brothers, Ed Mag was the name, M-A-G, who were older than I knew. They got drafted.
Oh.
So I had to register then. I became 21. I registered in June of 18. 1918, and in September, it's June 6th, or September 6th, the same year, I was in the Army.
Oh, jeez, that was quick.
Quicker than he had hoped.
You really? Yeah.
Do you want some more water for coffee?
No, I don't think, but help yourself.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine,
sure. That Army job didn't last long either. We all went into Rockford, Illinois, Camp MacArthur. Was that Camp MacArthur? Camp Grant, Illinois. And the flu epidemic struck.
Oh.
And put near half of them, I guess at least half of them died, of the young men.
Oh.
Machine.
And in our barracks it was only, that would be in November and December. It just went too quick and then it was all over.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, but she made me work.
Yeah, you were one of the few healthy ones, huh?
Lots of work to
do. Well.
And then, right around the 1st of December, we shipped to Texas. Camp MacArthur, Texas, out in Waco. And then we got an overseas examination. The war was overseas. But then the rumor was, you know, that we was going to go over anyway to a reef and then to get to come home. Going to be over for occupation duty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And then that was changed. And you have to be sent home to make room for them people coming back.
Right.
We're up to Camp Grant, Camp Dodge, Iowa, just south of Des Moines. It was just a wartime camp again. Spent 10 days there and got discharged and got out.
That's
four
great.
Months and yeah. 4 days.
That wasn't too bad, huh?
Yeah. Huh. And that must have been then in what year?
Yeah. And then I came 20? To Portland.
To Portland?
After I came back in 19 from the Army. Mm. Then I worked in the tile ditch there. That summer, and it rained all the time, and the ditch was sloppy, and I couldn't do a thing. So I got done with what I was doing and took off to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
I spent the winter there. Next thing, I went to Alaska.
Well, what made you want to go to Alaska?
Hmm?
Why did you go to Alaska?
Well, they were advertising for men to work in the railroad.
Oh.
You see, the railroad was past Anchorage. The railroad was out to Talkeetna, the steel work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you stand out, I wanted to see Alaska.
Yeah, and you hope it didn't rain so much there.
The other two times too. You were just going to go off and see the place.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. 36 years later.
Well, I guess that's what the other two did the last day.
Yeah.
It looked too good to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have to have a board. I could go out there and put up a tent or a camp anywhere. Nobody could say I had to have permits or anything.
Right.
There was nothing.
Yeah.
It was a free country.
Yeah.
You'll never see it.
Yeah, you're right.
Nobody will ever see it again.
Yeah, and it's so much better than down here now, but it's still...
It's still probably better than up there.
Oh,
Yeah.
Huh. So then you did work on the railroad then?
Well, I worked there for 2 months. And then, of course, some fellow wanted to go into Fairbanks, walk into Fairbanks. So I walked along.
Nothing better to do.
Right. So we walked there, well, you see they'd laid steel out from Nenana, you know, out to Healy. And just north of Healy. They had a train there. There had been a bridge across that Nenana River, and a downstream from Healy, a few miles from Healy. But that got knocked out with the ice, you know. They backed the trail out from Nenana, and then they took the straight down there, and they had a footbridge, you know, that you walk across.
Yeah,
it's just a plank up and some of them stilts that were still standing.
Yeah,
that was great.
Do you remember seeing the airplane for the first time up there when they started flying the mail? Or?
I saw the first airplane that came through Rainy Path. It was in the spring, I guess it was in April. I was sitting out there in 22 by a beaver house. I was going to shoot a beaver if he stick his nose up there. And I heard something here on the way over. It was pretty high. It came right over Rainy Pass, you know, and over that corner. I was down
by the road
river
there.
A little from that.
What'd you
I
think
didn't
of
know
that?
Who it was.
Yeah.
But I found out later that it was Ed Young.
Oh.
Ed Young from the first one through there.
Huh.
And I don't know, it was a biplane.
Yeah.
An open cockpit.
Yeah.
And that was probably what in the...
That was in 24, I think.
Because you
first... Well, that's the same spring that the place burned down.
Oh.
Yeah, we were up there. And we were out. Up the Bear Creek, a mile or so, you know,
uh-huh.
There were some birches. I wanted to get some birches, timber for sleigh, you know.
Mm, yeah.
And when we came out, we got it all right. Came out with the birch and we could see that smoke coming up over.
Good boy. Mm. Had it already burnt down or had it...
Yeah, well, it was burned through right there in the corner.
Huh.
It was two cabins, a big bunk house,
right.
And then the kitchen behind, and the stove over in that side the corner, you see, and that had already broken through.
Oh.
That's why I had broken through in that corner.
Mm.
So that's where it started, you know.
Yeah.
In the stove.
Right.
Was that in the same place that the cabin is when you rebuilt it?
That little cabin. At Roon?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was out front more, you know. It was sitting... Well, the Roan River comes down here, you know,
right.
And here's South Fork.
Right.
It was sitting out here pretty close to Rome.
Closer to the Rome,
and
yeah.
It would get glaciered up too once in a while.
Oh, that close to it, yeah.
Yeah. And the overflow come up. And that Rome River there, that I seen that ice be 20 feet thick.
Gee.
Yeah. One overflow on top of
it. Yeah. Just keep building up.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, that's the cabin that built down there?
Well, that was the roadhouse. The whole thing was down, except the cache. We had some stuff in the cache. Food, but not. We had prawns and chicken and some bacon.
How did you get your supplies?
Well, we hauled it up. You know.
From
McGrath.
From McGrath and all this came in. How often did you have to go for supplies?
Well, we only supplied once. We probably took your supply up. And we take it to, this time, the first time up, was that was in, 23. We went up with a boat, with Jones, Davidson's partner. He wanted to get some of the stuff out of the bedding and stuff, and all the things, stools. And he had another thing. He had two men with him in his big boat, so we all went up and took our outfit with us. We had about from Barry's Land, Medford, go right up to Southport. You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we finally got it all up there, all right. It took us 13 days. But then later on, why we'd take it up to Salmon River, the outfit, get my own boots and stuff, and took it up to Salmon River. And even sometimes we'd go up path and go up Sullivan Creek.
Mm-hmm.
That comes in between Salmon River and Pelock, crosses the trail. And it casts it in, and the wind soon comes up and gets some stones on it. But then the airplanes can fly to you and get all the thing, you know.
And
it slides in. I used to go in lots of times, Spike Bar. And a big pilgrim, he hauled the mail to McGrath, and I don't know, I guess he went for a spettle. But he also had that side trip up to the little station. He'd have to go up there every once a week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that big ship, so I threw the dogs and myself with about a ton and a half of stuff in there. Set it right down there.
I mean, you could use it.
By that time, that strip was when I was there, you know. And the crew came in there, and I worked on building that strip, you know. They were going to put the whole plant there to begin with, you see. And that winter, then they hauled all the stuff up from down the river, you know, that had been cast along the bank. And cast with slaves, you know. It was all stacked there up in the hill from where the cabin is now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And these other boys that were here, they looked at the picture I had from there. He says, that doesn't look the same here. There's dog faces out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the trees? Well, there wasn't any trees then.
Yeah.
There'd been the fire going through, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was all bare.
Did they tell you that we had a fire in 77?
Yeah.
That is, it started out past Farewell Station, and it got within 4 miles of the lodge, you know, of the old cabin.
Yeah.
And it got to be about 400,000 acres. It was a big, big fire. It was really, and so all the flats, you know, it's burned
out. It went down the flat.
Yeah,
by Bear Creek.
Flats. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was called the Bear Creek Fire. Mm-hmm. And it was...
Robert Timmy. Small stuff.
Small stuff.
Oh,
but
and
it just wiped it out.
And it burned it. So it was such a hot fire. It's still, even now, it's just It's not a real good regrowth in a lot of the areas. It was a real big one.
Yeah, well, all that area around there was clean up to room. That had been burnt before I come in, and the trunks were just blue already. You know.
Oh, jeez.
And the trees were down all over that. It's been scattered timber, but it was all over them ridges. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, well, you can still see
signs.
There were just some few spruces coming up, you know, all over the place. That's probably grown up pretty well
yeah.
now.
In fact, you can just see some old stumps that from the old, real
old
burn.
A lot of old ones, yeah.
Do you know what year that other fire was?
Huh?
Do you know what year that?
No, it was before my fire.
Yeah.
That's why a big fire had been thrown down there.
Huh.
And it took in, well, it didn't hit the riverbank going down. It didn't hit burn any of the river. Put all up in there and clean over all over the whole bunch of bridges. There, you know. Them bridges are just like that, you see, like when you come out one after another, so just the glacier boosted up.
Yeah.
And that's the last bridge, which is only 4 miles from Pilo, that's only 16 miles out from the lake. That's the last glacier bridge there.
Yeah. Yeah. That way. Did you spend the summers when you trapped during the winter? Did you spend all summer there also?
No, not, I sometimes spent early, get up there in the early fall most of the time.
We had some nice summers up there. Nice warm weather. Yeah. Where did you usually go during the summer? What did you do
McGrath.
For the summer? McGrath.
Oh, well, there's always something to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you probably had a girlfriend or two in McGrath.
Ah, yeah.
That could be, but then that's not something to do, you know.
Can't occupy all your time.
I worked when they were building the airfield, you know, I worked two or three summers down there on the airfield in McGrath.
Huh.
About two months, you know. And I worked in the riverboat from McGrath to the cotton for 3 summers.
Yeah.
Steering wheel, I helped the guy build a boat and haul the freight up with it.
Got to see a lot of country.
Yeah. Yeah. We were all, the cotton river, you know, you haven't been up that way at all.
No, I haven't.
Well, there was quite a bit of mining going on up in the Dover country, you know, at then and Yankee Creek and all those creeks were working at Great Desert or Dry Land.
Huh. Yes. So. And did you ever really do much, a whole lot of trapping other than around Farewell Lake?
Mm-hmm.
Most of your trapping was then around Farewell.
Well, you know, I didn't trap anything except around there. When I stayed, I had to, you know. The trapping, I've been up there when the promotion was trapping.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't any trapping half of the time.
Yeah.
But I was still there. If it hadn't been for wolves, there'd been nothing really. Long stretches of time.
Yeah.
Mm.
Real good and it's real bad. Yeah.
Martin, there never was many martin. If that green tree timber is up now, there would be some martin.
Yeah, the martin aren't too bad now, but a few mink along the river? Did you get any mink?
Oh, well, there was one winter I caught quite a lot of mink along the river. But, I guess it got 30, but I never did anything with me like that after the mm-hmm.
Because there's hardly any now. You know, you could pick up one or two.
Yeah.
No, well, it's not a good river for people.
No.
You'll see a few otters running along there.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
What about lynx? Did you see very many lynx? Or traps?
Well, there was a lot of lynx in it. I got... The most I got of this was 93. That's the only thing I got anywhere near. You
know. 93.
But I got up in the 80s a couple of times.
Oh my gosh.
So when the rabbit cycle was up,
you didn't
get pretty
anything
good.
For them?
Really? They weren't let, oh.
Last time I tracked up there, I only went as far as Egypt Mountain.
Yeah.
I had the female with some young pups, and I didn't. And they were coming back. I think I got 12, 14 links.
Yeah.
They were beautiful. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I got $9 a piece.
Jeez.
You know, and that's what Scott, who stopped in here last year, you know, he, that's what saves him in the wintertime. That's the only way he can be out there is because he gets so many links, and links, he gets a, you know, pretty consistently good price for them, you know. Mm. Boy. Yeah, like you said, that'd be kind of tough.
Was there any Wolverine around?
There was one that same year, doing 28, high price. I averaged 87 of them, and there was quite a few kids.
Yeah.
That's usually what he gets.
Yeah, quite a few.
Yeah, a lot of
kits.
A lot of kits. Wolverine? Did you? How about Wolverine?
Oh, I got about 15 a year.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good.
You did never get.
Never get
the real thick like
Vincent
or Marty and stuff like that. You know.
But there were a lot of wolf though too, huh?
Yeah, well, the wolves too, in a way. Sometimes they were pretty scarce too. But I averaged about 15.
Oh.
And you got
a good price for
one,
them.
The biggest one was 25. Biggest one.
Wow. You got a good price for the wolf? They were usually?
No.
Sounds like a lot of work.
You got a $40 bounty.
Yeah.
And then, some good skins, you know, you could sell them for $40, $50. Mm. Real silky, nice, you know.
Yeah.
And young wolves, you know.
Hmm.
Wolverine, you could always get rid of them for $15. Mm. Round the lonely ring, everybody wanted Wolverine skin.
Oh, yeah. It was very popular.
Rough.
And they wouldn't want it, you know.
Yeah. Hmm.
Coyote. I got a couple of other coyotes in there. There wasn't a wolf when I first went in the country. There wasn't a sign of a wolf and hadn't been for years. All over there were nothing. And then I see it. I was going up, getting pretty close to the Hartland River cabin one time. It was a few skiff of snow on the ice. I traveled mostly on the ice and hit the points to set traps and everything. And there, I crossed these in two tracks. I crossed it. I thought it was a caribou, you know. I get past it, you know. I seen it wasn't caribou. I stopped. Two big wolves, you know, awful big track in that new snow, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll bet.
That was the first I saw of any wolf on sign.
Was the caribou in there much in the winter? The caribou?
Caribou?
In the wintertime, did they come in there much in that area?
Well, the caribou were all over that mountainside up at the Hartland River.
There,
there's not anymore.
No.
Quite a few moose, but caribou we've never had. Since we've been there, never very good caribou, really.
This has been the best year for caribou. They've been coming back a little bit, but
They used to come by, and they quit that long before I left. They used to come down there, Fairwell. They used to come from up the river, from Mount McKinley way, kind of, you know, up in there. And they'd have regular trails, and they'd come in bunches and go across South Fork and on over west, you know, way over there. I don't know where they go. But there was a place there that, you know, the people of Santa River, they call Caribou Heaven. They come to, it's all springs, you know.
Mm.
You don't know where the water comes to the surface from underneath. It's all springs and you get bogged down in it. You can hardly get through, you know.
Huh.
But there's a lot of them water plants, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know if they have
that. Yeah.
Campus there. But that's where they come for the winter, yeah. And we used to always get one or two of them before they all got through, got past, you know. Ever hunted. I could stay in the cabin and have the dogs as soon as they made a noise, you know. They tell me when there was something.
Yeah.
I'll bet they did.
if it was a bear or a wolf, they could tell me that too, because it sounds scared.
Oh. Yeah, I'll bet. A lot of bear around the lake?
Hmm?
Were there a lot of bear right around the lake
there? There were lots of bears all around. You know, especially in the fall. I couldn't hardly go up to Mount Egypt, you know, without running into a bear, you know, along the bank, mm-hmm. you know, at open stream.
More grizzly or black?
Yeah.
Grizzly or black?
No. Oh, grizzlies.
Lots
of blacks, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I run into I'd go along one, that's just a skip of snow, and I was still living over there, by the river, in the old house. I walked out, and there was an open. And then there was a lot of trees. They probably grew up to the bus stop. All that green trees and flat.
Mm-hmm.
But there's then little what would have been a channel.
Yeah, right. It's all grown up there around Frenchy Joe's.
Well, I was just crossing that mountain back over there. I seen a big prime bump. And I was about, maybe 50 feet from that day. But it was asleep. It was a big grizzly.
Yeah.
It was sleeping, it had a made a mound of dirt and it had its head laying up on there, its neck exposed to me real good shot.
Yeah. Really? All set up?
It wasn't really 50 feet. I just kneeled down and rested. And all that bear did it.
He had a bad dream when it was over.
Stood out and shook his all his legs and then he died. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't tumble then. I just in the evening when it came dusk, and so I rolled him off, you know, on his belly, and get his feet under him, so they wouldn't be frozen in the morning. And so I just go out and scare him. It was probably in October.
Huh.
And then
yeah,
here was a great big mass of black fur. He had a black bear buried under there, you know.
Is that right?
So, good grief.
And then I began to look out, and they'd been in, this was in the rope and stuff, but they had been fighting around in the small spruce trees, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they had tore the whole place up, cleaned up in there, the two of them.
Okay.
The black bear was pretty near as big as the grizzly, and the grizzly was a little cub.
Yeah.
So
it's
I just kicked it. And I covered it up again and left that one under there. Next morning, of course, I come out and skinned the bear and got the... I skinned both bears, you see, they had the black bear. He had just opened the stomach
of the black bear
and had a feed.
Huh.
And then covered it all up.
And was enjoying his nice sleep until you ended it. Said he was enjoying a nice sleep until you ended it.
Well, it was dangerous to go along there. You had to keep your eyes open because there was. I found out several things about that, but it's something that you still can't rely on.
Yeah.
I meet a bear right close. You could almost put a hand on me going to Crooked Trail. You could almost put your hand, and the bear stops. And you stop, and you yell, it comes, you know, easy. And the bear, he woof, and he turns around and runs like he's done it again. And sometimes you don't have a gun with you.
That's not the first.
It's happened more than once to me.
I imagine.
But if it doesn't happen that way, why, I'm not sure what that bear is going to do. I'm going to act before he does.
Yeah.
When I'm that close. So I generally shot him.
You know, that's...
We're all alone and you can't take any chances.
Oh, that's for sure.
Just even a little bit crippled.
Yeah.
No, you sure can't. That area there around Farewell is now a real good area for sheep up in the mountains.
There's a lot of sheep?
Yeah, a lot of nice sheep.
Yeah. That wild Egypt used to give us quite a few of them.
They'll come over there in the spring now.
Yeah.
And then they'll work their way back toward in the fall or go back over the Tunis Mountains and then
up Tin Creek.
Yeah.
I hunted up there, but they were, I didn't know that was before he even did it up there. And we went up to Dillinger, the Russian fellow from Tukatka. He had to go to the toilet. And up to Dillinger, and boy, this is as lousy as it should. I did the hunting of Tom Sekinoff. He couldn't see the sheep at all. He couldn't see spotting. And I killed 23 sheep in about 2 days. And Tom, he got busy with the dogs, you know, and every time I get a bunch of pies, and he hauled them in, you know, to the tent.
Meat, honey? For selling the meat? Was he selling the meat?
It's good meat.
We love sheep meat. Yeah.
It's excellent eating. Excellent eating.
That's the best meat.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
That's my favorite.
Especially when you get a young meat or something.
Oh, they are.
Well, I wouldn't
like
know.
Say, we don't, yeah.
I'll tell you, I'd never eat a big old lamb.
Although they're pretty good. They really are.
Yeah.
Because it's a big game lodge, you know, that's all we can get, you know. And my father has, you know, hunters come in and
you could kill
the
rules were then, you know, if anybody out in the hills needed meat, he could kill it.
Right.
Legally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not quite the same anymore.
We could take it,
Right. Well, now with so many people up hunting in the area, you get people who kill something for the trophy, but not the meat.
So many regulators.
Oh, yeah. Flying around, looking to see what you're doing, you know. That's for sure, you've got to be pretty careful. You know? Yeah, it's a... Yeah, and so, okay, were you there when did they transplant the buffalo?
I don't know, they got buffalo in there.
Yeah, right around there, in the wintertime, they come right around the lodge.
Those boys that were here, you know, they told me, they said they were hanging around below Mount Egypt, between there and Mount Tinkook, you know, up in there.
You can usually see them right around there.
They must move farther around than that.
They've been up to the Hartman.
They go way up.
I've seen them up to the Hartman,
yeah.
You know, and then back down, way past the Dillinger.
Yeah, well,
and I've seen them like in between the
over
lodge and Farewell Station.
Yeah,
over
by the station.
Doesn't look so much like the buffalo ground, you know.
Yeah.
They'd like to flat a place to go
through
the river.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they work their way up that river and then back down, and up to Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not up into the mountains, but up the flats.
Usually about 120 of them or so.
You can kill them, you know, open.
Permit.
Yeah.
It's a permit only.
Yeah.
You can hunt them, though. Yeah.
Too many. To make sure.
Well, usually about 25,
it's been,
isn't it?
30, I think.
25, 30 a year.
But no, somebody that lives there permanently, do you have a first chance?
No.
No priority. It's all just a permit basis, and it brings a lot of people in, and you have no priority if you've been there, you know, or anything like that. But one year they opened it up so that people could come in, and instead of by permit, it was... First come, first serve. Like people would fly into the Farewell Station, sign up, and they could go out.
You know, before the airplane started to fly, all the mining camps and everything moved to the game.
Oh, yeah.
And they had hunters out. The Nixon mine had a fella up here in the mountains and killing mountain sheep and caribou and stuff, you know, and getting it in. And you know, they generally had to get it in during the winter time.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And there was no law against it. There was no meat. There was no way you could get any meat.
Right.
into that country.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even have a, well, no. Later on, there was a, in Japan, but I didn't. Came all the way back up with 23 tons of meat to get it with. And there was even sausages and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would go up to the cotton, on the graph. We started up to the really good and fine. And I was at the pile, come around the bend, there was a good one close to the bank. And I heard something begin to drag, you know, something dragging on the end here. And shallow water will do that, you know. And I didn't realize, and all at once it said, bang! It was just for Dave Mutler and I were ready to start. I got down off of that pile of house in nothing flat and got out with a lion out of the round tree. We didn't even drop back 5 feet. So, crankshaft broke.
Oh boy. Yeah.
The cabin there at the lake. When did you build the front portion?
I moved in. In 38.
It was built.
38. I've been building on it. You know.
Uh-huh.
When did you start building on it?
I started maybe in 37.
Oh.
I was living over the other place and beginning to cut logs and all that and get it over here. Get a few rounds up too.
Uh-huh.
Then that fall I had everything there and I finished it up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's
38.
Yeah, the way we understood it is that cabin built down or burnt down, but the cabin that burned down was at Frenchie Joe's, right?
No, it was Roan.
Roan.
Roan's the one that burnt down.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
the one
no,
that
we
built.
Yeah, that one never burnt down.
No, it was. You know, and the pictures, like the pictures, are just the same.
It's just the same. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so then you kept coming back to it, you were in that country then for about 36 years then.
Yeah.
And kept coming back to it. And then after you built the cabin in 38, that's where you always came back to, was Farewell Lake, when you came back, mm-hmm. right? You came back to the same cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, and then went from there. Now, if you built that, and then you built at the Roan, and then did you build up at Denny Creek?
Yes, I built at Denny Creek, and I built up at the mouth of the Hudson.
Okay.
But only just in the cabin.
Right, I saw your little cabin at Denny Creek.
8x10, you know.
Yeah, at Denny Creek, the roof had caved in,
yeah.
And I went up and looked at that.
What's his name, Miller?
Yeah.
He hasn't built across the creek.
Right across the creek, he's built his own cabin.
Yeah, that was probably a better place because on that side, the wind could blow in there so bad. Poor place with dogs. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a cabin below first, and you know, that got cleaned out.
Yeah.
It's probably shooting the racket with that.
Yep. Right.
Then I built farther up where it wouldn't overflow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little cabin up there. And somebody has built a little cabin up by
the lake. See, they own it overnight, you know, the little cabin.
Right. Well, that's nice to have.
And you don't want the big one that takes long to warm the big one up.
Right. Yeah, I would definitely. She had 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
Did you use snares at all? Did you use snares when you were trapping, or was it all just traps?
Snares? Yeah. I used some snares, yeah.
There's still some of your other sets there.
I have some, you know, parting snares.
Yeah.
For wolves and coyotes and lynx. But I didn't use to. I have some snares. You know, there was an airplane, you can see it yet up there in that's from out in Egypt.
Oh.
And the wrecked airplane.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I got the control cable. And then there was that one right at the lake, you know.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And that was Swanton, Harry Swanton. I got the control cables out of that, you know, and that's nice and flexible. You can make real nice snares.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I was going to get a wolf up along that open creek out there, you know, about Twin Creek, you know, along the really, along the kind of.
Oh, yeah.
I set them there, hanging on them, and they could always see tracks, but it was falling right.
Yeah.
And I come there one day, and I had a grizzly bear in one.
That's great.
It was lucky, too, that there was a pretty good-sized cottonwood tree that it was tied to, you know. The rest of the stuff is just small spruce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I had one of them, it would have held a wolf, but it would have never held a bear, you know.
Jeez.
And he was mad.
Oh, I'll bet he was.
Yeah, tore the thing up, but it held on to him. It was a wolf trap, you know, them teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up with about 10 dozen of them that I had all together. And it held that bear. Otherwise, he wouldn't have kept on holding him, but I happened to come along.
Come along just at the right time. A bear was.
It was a female, but it wasn't a real small female bear. It was a nice skin too.
Was that in the spring?
In the fall, I guess.
In the fall.
I don't know. It could have been in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have anything in the
Boy. That's incredible. See, were you going to ask what HG meant?
Yeah, reading in your diary, you know, when you're traveling.
Yeah, that's great.
That's
great. We love it.
You boiled the shirt.
Shot a grizzly. Boiled a shirt. You boiling your shirts to clean them?
But you were saying like you would go from the lake apparently to HG.
HG.
You put down to
what was that?
HG.
What?
Go from the lake to HG.
HG or from Rhone to HG. Was it Hell's Gate or?
Yeah, Hell's Gate.
Oh.
Oh well, you see, these other boys, they think Hell's Gate is up in the canyon. Way up there.
Mm-hmm.
But that was Hell's Gate Fenstone Cove that gave it that name. You know, right there where there's the point over here and the point on
right,
the side was over.
Right out from
that
the lake.
Really Hell's Gate, yeah.
Okay.
Right close to that old roadhouse, you know.
Huh.
But the other part, we always called it the canyon up there.
Yeah. Yeah, they call that Hell's Gate.
Fenstone called that, and he had an ad in the Costco Times that was printed in the cotton first and then the draft and the extract. He was the printed that paper and the French told him to stop in at Hell's Gate and I forget now what it was, but it was mentioned the Hell's Gate.
Right, that was where Frenchy Joe's place was, huh?
But those are the fellows from what he wrote.
Yeah.
I understand he's mistaken and called that other part up the hill to way up. You know.
Right,
and
right.
You just called it the canyon.
Yeah.
Right, right, yeah.
The South Fork Canyon.
Yeah. Did you know that now they have the Iditarod dog sled race now from Anchorage?
Yeah,
to
that's going on now.
Yeah, right now. Well, in fact, it might even be ending about now.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything?
No, down here you just don't hear anything on it. You know? It started before we left.
Yeah.
Right. It was a fast one, too. They were really making good time this year.
They were. Took them 4 days and they were in McGrath.
Hmm?
4 days to get to McGrath. You know, so they got to McGrath real quick.
Well, that was pretty average time.
That's fast for this race, though. They don't usually make that good a time for this race. Yeah, anymore, you know.
But you know, where do they start from?
There by.
By Kinnick.
By Kinnick, yeah, and outside of, by Wasilla.
Close to Wasilla.
Yeah, close to Wasilla.
Well, it went today when I walked across there. It started. The dovetail came in at Nancy.
At Nancy Lake?
Nancy. Hmm. Nancy, a little station there.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was only a car on the sidetrack and the tack walkers.
Oh.
Father and son staying there.
Just right off the railroad tracks.
Hmm?
Uh-huh. Right off the railroad tracks?
Well, that's where the tail took off.
Mm-hmm.
It's above Matanuska.
Mm-hmm.
On the Willow. I guess it's above the Willow.
Oh, even farther.
Farther
above.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah,
it should be ending about.
Yeah, it should. Probably. It's
but it, you know, it was a. And then the dog washes, you know. Then they put the dogs on the train and
right.
The anchors, you know.
Right.
They couldn't get anybody to keep them there, I guess.
Yeah.
I got a map, and I put it there after I had a search warrant to find it. I got too many maps.
Too many?
Here, this is a... the best one for all purpose. Yeah. It's getting kind of... it's not shop worn, but it's worn. Well...
Okay, yeah, there's Willow.
Willow?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up to Cash Whitney.
I don't know, I think that I saw that map, I saw that name Nancy. But anyway, you know, it went over here then to Sitka Station. Is that it? That's the trail.
Mm, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where does it start from? But now they start here from Tinnick.
Uh-huh. Somewhere around Tinnick, isn't it? Yeah.
But that was never the old house.
Right.
The old... Well, you see, it's, that's the Susitna Railway, that's Susitna Station. And then the road went up this way. Almost.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because it was squirtly crossing it here.
Right, yeah.
That's where the trail crosses.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and then it goes up here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the cabin there, and there's room there.
Right.
And there's Stairwell. And then it goes right on. It didn't go through Nikolai at all.
Yeah, it changes a little bit every year too, depending on the snow.
It went right through here, the mouth of Big River.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the Kuskokwim. And then down to the grass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My here's the mouth of the Hartley. Hmm?
Right.
It's a cabin there, but it's probably down. Lab traps up here sometimes when it was worth putting traps out before he would come up this way.
Okay, now is this Denny Creek right here then?
Hmm?
Would this be Denny Creek?
Denny Creek, yeah.
It would be right there, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I guess it would be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Post Lake would
be... No, the first one is Bear Creek, you know, East
mm-hmm.
Coast.
Right.
And then Denny.
Right.
No, there's a Brush Creek too, and then
right.
Denny.
Right. Down towards that. South towards.
But lots of the flying around this way.
Mm-hmm. And Ptarmigan. Did you call that Ptarmigan Pass then? That's what they call it now, Ptarmigan Pass.
Well, they did that to begin with. I think everything came
this way. Right, before it went over.
In 1910, the government cut the trail through.
Through Rainy Pass, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's called Ptarmigan Valley, the whole deal, you know. Clean down.
Right.
And come over.
Right.
And,
so.
And there was lots of them when I walked too. I left us, we camped down by the lake, there was nobody there then, but there was a cabin. And a tripod.
Down by,
tripods all along, you know.
Right.
Because we were in the Bear Hills, and kind of foggy. And you couldn't see, you know, unless you had the tripods, you could get lost easily.
Mm-hmm.
But they were close enough to get in.
Yeah.
You could hear them ptarmigans.
Oh, yeah.
Come here.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah, the country. So what made you come back down to Florence here, to live here?
Pardon?
When you left Alaska. Why did you come to Florence?
I went to California.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Where in California?
Well, I lived down by Costa Mesa, by Newport Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That one little place. And East Duncan's, you know.
Uh-huh.
They stayed in the place, and I kept going back to Alaska in the summer for a while. And then I finally the last time back, I got a job at a place in South San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I stayed there in the Duncan's work there too. And then that got flooded out to the firm. They went down and built a place at St. Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I moved out to the coast then, out on the coast of Montana, and I had lived there.
Oh.
I got a horse. And I worked, you know, I put in five years to get my ticket on Social Security.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
Then I got to be 65, and then I came back up here.
So you left Alaska pretty much in what, 56?
Six.
And then you went back, you said that you went back to Trail?
No, that was the last time, and I think I kept coming out here for two or three years before that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But did you say that you went back into that country around in 68 and saw it?
I was out in the summer here and then, you know, and went back in the fall to Alaska to keep the trap line from running away.
From running away. Did you bring books out to Farewell or things to read?
What?
Did you have books to read at Farewell?
Oh, I got to pick up a letter in the grass.
Yeah, a lot of stuff like that. Most of your time there at Farewell, you were by yourself.
There might even be one of them old Saturday evening books.
Yeah, we've got a lot of old stuff there. I can say I don't know what. Good reading in the old cabin. And the cards in the walls and everything. And it's,
Yeah.
So you know Bob Curtis then?
Oh, of course, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
I know him well.
Yeah, he's a nice man.
The bald eagle.
Yeah, right, the bald eagle.
That's him.
And
Bob Reeve, I knew him well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just looking in his book. He had all those watermarks.
Oh,
Yeah, that storm we had last winter, and all the roofing off, and that lot of it laying out there. Yet.
Oh, goodness.
And the book was sitting in this.
Oh.
It got kind of hurt.
Oh, Glacier Pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To my old friend, Einar Carlson, old-time wolf trapper, proprietor and
prospector,
and friend of all the old-time bush pilots. With my warm
cigar. Yeah, I got to know them all sitting in that cabin. You know.
And every good wish for happy landing.
When they couldn't get through, they'd come and sit down.
Stop and have a cup of coffee with Einar.
I'd stop overnight. Sometimes he was sitting there, a bunch of them, for three nights in a row.
Oh, I'll bet.
Playing poker, you know.
Yeah, isn't that great?
One fellow, I forgot who it was, he took his battery and hooked it under the wind charger.
Yeah.
When the wind charger was just going. And he had a 12 volt, but he charged half of it at a time.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yours was old 6 volt.
Huh?
The charger was 6 volt.
Yeah.
The Saudi was actually 8 volt charger, but it charged 6 volt probably.
That's neat, Luke.
That's neat.
Yeah. That's nice.
Now, Bob Reeve, he brought a lot of people up to hunt around there, especially when them big army men get around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he brought in Hoyt Vandenberg and the commander of Elmendorf, his piece of time, Atkinson.
Oh, yeah.
And Bernd Balken. And General Everest, all at one We were all there, you know.
Did you have a good party?
Huh?
Did you have a good party?
Oh, yeah. Bob, he stayed in the bunk all day long.
Too good of a party.
The rest of them were out hunting.
Oh, that's
got a little bull moose with him in Vandenberg.
Huh. Yeah, that's nice. It's a good book.
Yeah, it was.
Fisher Pilot. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's really good. It's a good like that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's great. Want to put that back, Steve?
Yeah, I will.
Well, it looks like you get lots of mail.
Well, that's your bank statement.
Oh, no, I mean letters. Keeps you busy, huh?
I could throw them all away.
Would you like to see, except we don't have any with us, but would you like us to send you some pictures of Farewell now? Would you like to see that now? I have so many pictures of Farewell. Mm-hmm. I wish we'd brought some down with us. We just didn't even think to, you know, we didn't even know that we were coming here. And I remembered Ina Carlson and Florence, that's all I remembered. We'll have to get your address. Let's see, it's right here. 05. Do you have something to write down on?
I don't know, but I'd get some.
Yeah.
Here's a pencil. Right, you can write
down. There's a pen here. All kinds of things. Yes, it is a thing.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Get a better piece of paper.
Well, that's okay. I can copy it down in the car.
We've got a better piece in the truck.
There's some that the hands are brought down to. A scratch pad.
Oh, this is an old one? From the old? Okay.
Well, it's some kind of old school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that open?
Yeah, it's going.
It's going?
Yeah.
Well, keep turning, while there's no sound?
No, it's just recording.
Yeah, but there'll be big gaps in there.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I think we've been talking most of the time.
Maybe the gaps will be the best part.
I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
No, no.
You could fill in with something.
Yeah, I'll play music or something in the gaps.
Really good.
Do you drive? Do you have a car? Or?
Yeah, I got a...
You do?
Yes, I got a Pinto wagon.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I don't drive much anymore, just going down to shop nowadays.
Yeah.
That scissor behind you, you want to cut it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was just going to... just going to leave you our name so you knew who we were when we send you something. And well, who are they?
Do you stay out at the lake in the summer?
Not in the summer. I did one year and then spent a winter there, but mostly it's just in the fall.
Yeah.
You know, from
stay all winter, can you?
Yeah.
Well, those dog nurses come right by you. Huh? Do they have a checkpoint there?
No. I think they did one year, but now they go directly over, sort of across Tin Creek there, up to the station. They don't stop at the lake.
Oh, I see they cut off.
Yeah. They cut off.
But why do they go by Nikolai?
I don't know. Joe Reddington, you know, established that trail. I don't know why they go by Nikolai.
And then another thing they call it the Iditarod, and then they cut off Iditarod at all.
Oh, it changes all the time.
Ruby.
Yeah.
This year I think they went to Iditarod.
Yeah. It, depending on the snow conditions, they either have a northern route or southern.
Sometimes they come right down past Farewell. Other times they go all the way across by Farewell Station. You know, it really depends. Every year changes. You know, It really does. Mm-hmm.
What type of rifle did you usually carry?
Oh, I generally use 30 or 6. I had lots of good things in the camp. I had I had 30 Ren Marlins. I had two Remington, one Remington and one Winchester 30 or 6. You know. And, well, I figured it was better to have another extra gun in here, you know.
Yeah.
But I bought one of the 35. Well, I bought several of them. See, I have brand new Remington 30-06 when and Jim Davis and two turned up in that cabin fire.
Oh yeah.
So, brand new clothing, footwear.
Oh,
you know, everything run right up, you know.
Yeah.
We had to walk to McGrath and in the breakup, you know.
Oh, jeez, it's a long way.
We got in them swamps, you know, there were water up to here, you know. And I had three pups, you know. I had to pick them up and carry them across the water, you know. And you go down the river from Big River, you see. The ice had raced in the river, you know, and there was open water on both sides. Well, the ice was underneath, you know. But every time you'd come, instead of take the portage, you know, like the trail, you'd have to dive in and go up here. So, you know. And the last one was down at McGrath, right there where Vanderpool's old homestead was. Took it right up here.
Right up here. Top of your shoulders.
We were just about a half a mile from town. And I guess the next day, a couple of days later, maybe the ice went out. It was a bad time to travel.
Oh, yeah. McGrath, were there a lot of people in McGrath there?
You see, all of McGrath was on the other side. Have you been to McGrath?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was just a cotton that came in there then, see.
Mm-hmm.
That cut off, you know, and left that willow barn over there, you know. But the whole town was over there. There was only old Dan Sprague. He was on that side, and right in front of the he had the cabin. And then there was another fellow named Hosper, he had another cabin up there, just about where. Well, Alaska had a store, and that was where. I think Dagan is there now, somebody.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And that was all the cabins over there.
Yeah.
But when that the river cut through, and then that spring in March again, the Northern Commercial Company store burned up.
Mm.
And they decided they were going to move over. Well, to save the warehouse, I was there too. I'd already gone. But I was asleep and I heard something go bang, bang. And I looked up. I was up to three, four cabins up. And they were all running around like mad, picking stuff out of the store and the liquor store, you know, they had it. And they were throwing it in a pond of water, you know. Case liquor and everything. And I said, what in the world are you throwing it in there for? It's safe if you put it down in the bank.
Yeah.
If you save anything, save that liquor.
Right. Don't be foolish.
So then Well, he put me in charge of moving the warehouse, you know. We got a scow, you know, and we took the roof all clean off, you know, each section, each frame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the rafters took them down with the frame knife, you know. The side the same way with the study, we cut them in sections and get them and put them on to the moving way. And that's the warehouse sitting on this side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the building slipped down there. You know. That was between 30 and 28.
Yeah, I don't know what the population is of McGrath, but they've got quite
the
a
population, bit. Population, then might have been. There was hardly, there was, you know, they called the native, there was only one native family, and I couldn't. Well, you like it.
Yeah. Now there's a lot more. Although there's still quite a few.
Then they began to build these schools. And they built a high school there, and that's where the kids came from all over. And I guess they're boarding there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All around. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, there's a lot there now.
All the graph was the heavy navigation. Steamboats came up there. Well, he was a steamboat and right to up to Medford, to various landings, it's called. And then that makes a mine. I worked on the steamboat 2 months that spring. I went in there because there was no food, there was nothing. The miners couldn't open up. The river would have been frozen in down below.
Mm-hmm.
And they had hauled some stuff with horse teams, you know. From that would be a kind of wicksack down the and the boat was pulled in and small steam was pulled in, you know.
Huh.
But they all they had that machine with 2 big spoilers and all the well, the stamp mill and everything on the boat and go up to Nixon Mine, unloading the various landing, and they built a road into it, about 12 miles away.
In your diary, you wrote about an earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a terrible one, you know. You know, that knocked down everything that was wrong there.
Knocked down the log cabin?
That was a mile spell there in spring, and I was already quit trapping. But I wanted to go back up to Rune when it was just raining and blowing and the snow all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the old cabins then, they were still standing. I'd made a new little cabin. Well, it was an old cabin, but I tore it down and put some new logs on it.
Mm-hmm.
On the far end. And I was in there and I could hear it come and bang it, you know. Well, I was in the old place, I rushed in and here was the sourdough bottle sitting on the shelf way up, you know, you keep it warm, you know.
Right.
And it came down and hit the Dutch oven and just
whoa,
the
all fat!
There wasn't a thing that was hanging on the wall, but wasn't it on the floor. And then I was shaking my head, you know, and started to pick things up. And here the second one come, and I could hear it coming. Boy, boy, it was a roar. And I get out there in the doors. It was a mild day, and I had to lay it out in the yard and tie it in stakes, you know. And you just spread eels like that and just look at what I was standing there. And hanging under the corner of the cabin and the logs were going this way,
oh, geez.
On top of one another. But they stayed up there, you know. There were big cottonwoods behind me. Well, I guess the whole thing maybe took a minute.
Yeah, but it seems like a lot longer, doesn't it?
But it wasn't, then I finally get up there, and when I get up to within 4 miles in the bench trail, we were up to the roof. Yeah, first thing I came to was a great big hummock that was pushed up, you know, about 6 feet tall anyway, and when I could see it running along like a snake in both directions. And the trees were crisscrossed and that one. And then a little while here was a tree split open and standing open that way, you know. It's right from the root, you know. And then I know I'm shaking all the stuff off of the treetops, you know. And it was just covered with snow, it all covered. You wouldn't think there was any snow.
Oh, yeah.
And then I crossed the river. The river had all broke up, you know, up to the right near my room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to cross. But there was a jam on the river, you know. The water wasn't high. And I knew the jam would hold, but they had the hummocks sticking up, you know. I go ahead of the dogs with the axe and knocking them, cutting them down, you know, and get across that way. And it held too. That night and the next day, well then, I come over there while it was just a little cabin there then, you know, 12 by 12. But yet, the front end where the door is hung over like this, you know, hanging open, and the street poles up and the race poles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side it slid off, and it didn't slide hard, but there was that wide an open space up in there, and all the dirt and muck was all in through that cabin. The tree. Yeah, and I thought it would be with. It sounded like it came from Anchorage.
Yeah. Did you hear anything about it later on from in the grass?
Well, I didn't hear on from, I guess, anything until it got out in the grass.
Yeah, they felt it there, too.
It was shortly after. And, but I saw the planes flying back and forth before that. I guess maybe Anchorage is still standing.
Still there.
Yeah. Do you remember what year that was, the earthquake?
Huh?
Do you remember what year the earthquake was? Do you remember what year the earthquake was?
Wasn't that 33?
Something like that. But, and I know it was in March.
It was in March, yeah.
In March. You know what was so funny? I remember when we read your diary, it was very close to the time, the same time of year and almost close to the date that the Alaskan earthquake, the big, you know.
In 64.
In 64.
Was that in March?
Yes.
March,
yes.
27th.
And this was very close to the same.
I think
time.
It was March 27th back in 33 or 34.
Well, you see, then later on when I kicked back up, there was them cracks in the ground on the Lone River for 4 miles, you know.
It sounded like it was about
the South Fork for 4 miles. But that was right in the center.
No, you meant it. You were right in the center?
Right at the epicenter or something, yeah.
And it was just like somebody put a stick, yeah, put dynamite out from under
the sun.
All
just,
night,
yeah,
long, bang. Bang, bang. I got my watch out and I said, I'm going to time. I count 10 in 1 minute. And then 10 bangs.
Jeez.
And everything was jumped every time that hit. It seemed like it was right under.
Jeez. And how long did that go on?
Well, the next fall, the fellow Snow came back up there with me in the fall to rebuild. And it was going on then, but not near so often, you know.
Yeah.
Tapered off, but I could hear them and feel them for years, you know.
But never before that? Never before that?
Well, we always felt from small ones, you know. For me, every winter, it'd be a thing.
Yeah.
There's a fall right through in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess, that's something, yeah. And what about things at Farewell Lake? Was everything fine there at the lake?
Farewell Lake, you see, that's where I was when it happened.
Well, that's right, but you hadn't built the old cabin.
No, it was just the fence to the
store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from Jones, yeah. Boy. Huh. Yeah, it was very similar to just about the same time, exactly the same time of year as the one at, you know, the big Alaska earthquake, and that was...
Yeah, well, I realized it couldn't have been near as bad because, you know, that one extended all the way from Cordova.
Right.
You know...
Yeah, it was a very widespread.
To Kodiak Island, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was over five and a half minutes.
That was more extensive.
But, of course, if you were at the center of it...
I was right on top of the center.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's very violent right there, you know. Do you know if they felt it in McGrath?
Hmm?
Did later on, when you talked to people at McGrath?
Well, when I got down there, And I asked him, you know, about Jim Davis and the other fellows, you know, the other private. And he said, did you feel an earthquake here? Oh, he said, wasn't that an awful one?
Yeah.
Because he felt it in the springs down at Tulowicksack, the hot springs down Tulowicksack, and it got so hot that it burned all the vegetation, you know.
Goodness, oh, there, right?
Jeez. I didn't know those hot springs down there.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Oh,
Pete Snow, he said, I wouldn't live in a place like this. He's up here to help. He bought that Peelock place, him and White Dog Smith, he called him, his partner. He grew trapped in there.
He didn't want to live there, though, huh?
Well, that was
Peelock,
it just,
right.
It wasn't down the corner.
They say, well, these days with all the tall buildings and things, no wonder earthquakes would really be scary, like in San Francisco or someplace like that, you know.
I think if I had been at Rhone River at the time, I'd get scared.
Yeah.
I didn't worry me where I was, but.
Right.
But I expected it to get worse up because. After the first shake, it was over, you know, in between the two. It just filled up with dust up that valley. You know.
Oh.
It was dust, you know, you couldn't see up the valley at all. Stuff tumbling off.
All the slides, yeah.
Right, well, yeah, I could feel you'd be a little nervous.
When it cleared up, and the second one then too, you know. But when it cleared up, I couldn't notice the difference in the mountains.
Yeah.
I thought they'd be all down. They really hopped around.
Yeah.
I imagine.
But they did a lot of dirt.
You got the sheep's attention.
Oh, geez. Can you imagine a sheep being on the side of the mountain trying to stay on the mountain?
That must have killed an awful lot of sheep.
Yeah.
Because,
boy.
You know, after that I went up, there's a creek up from Rhone River, from the place.
Mm-hmm.
Up the Rhone River itself, to on the left hand side, called Link.
Links, yes.
Yeah. But I was up in there, and boy, there was nothing but big boulders in there, and sheep skeletons and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up in the, right down in the
creek.
Right in the creek.
You know where Automatic Creek? Did you call
automatic
it Automatic?
Automatic Creek, you were left down, you know, close.
Right, right. Because that's got big boulders all right in the creek bed. I wonder if that's
well,
what...
It's got the real right from the glass. All those creeks have boulders in it like that. But you know, that earthquake really shook just the flat rocks and everything.
Yeah.
You go across from Rhone River now, go right across the mountain from Rhone River, go across Rhone River the mouth, and go in the brush there.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see where there's a gut coming down in the hill. And you'll see that where all that is filled up right to the treetops. And stuff that came down that time and went in between the trees and filled it right up. Clean to the treetops. And then tape it off out toward the river.
Must have been a good shaker.
Yeah.
It must have killed a lot.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I imagine.
I'm scared the hell out of
everything. Everything. You're not kidding, geez.
You got to feel them to realize what power is in one of them.
You know, I noticed in 64, during that earthquake.
Pardon?
When we had that earthquake in 64, it seemed like the birds. Oh, they weren't around at all, you know, right afterwards. I mean, it didn't kill them, but they weren't flying, you know, right before the earthquake.
Yeah.
There, did you notice that at all?
You then?
In Anchorage.
In Anchorage.
Yeah.
Anchorage? Yeah.
Did you?
I know. You wouldn't have even known about Finn.
Oh, Finn. No.
That's
But he